ABC Radio Australia.
Well, the recent controversy that erupted over the transgender weightlifter Laurel Hubbard, who took out gold at the Pacific Games in Samoa, is now reverberating around the world. A UK pressure group that represents women in sport is calling on the International Olympic Committee to suspend its rules that allow male to female athletes taking part in women's competitions. And in the United States, a transgender athlete and scientist who advises the IOC is calling for existing testosterone limits to be halved. But as Richard Hewitt reports, even that move would be unlikely to diminish the sense of injustice that's being felt by many in the Pacific.
The Laurel Hubbard saga had long been threatening to boil over in the Pacific, and matters could have come to a head at the Commonwealth Games in Australia last year, where Samoa's weightlifting coach Jerry Walwork and Paul Coffer, head coach at the Oceania Weightlifting Institute, were divided on the question of Hubbard's participation.
The strength is still there and I'm very opposed to it.
She's done everything according to the IOC rules, so give her a chance.
But when Hubbard suffered an injury and Samoa's Fayananga Stowers won gold in the New Zealander's absence, calm was restored. That was until Hubbard returned to take gold from Stowers in her own backyard at the Pacific Games in Apia. The sense of outrage that followed prompted the Games Council to commit to a thorough review of its rules, while Prime Minister Tuilepa's anger was palpable when he spoke on local TV and then during his speech at the closing ceremony.
National sports organisations ought to hold consultation on the issue around a transgender policy.
Up to now, there has been very little scientific study of the impact that a sex change has on a male athlete's body. And Daryl Adair, an associate professor in sports management at UTS in Sydney, says that fact undermines the rules established by the International Olympic Committee.
The IOC has made policy without demonstrating a scientific robustness about this. Back in 2003, this wasn't open season for transgender athletes. This was only for those who had gone through the whole surgical procedure. Where it's become controversial is 2015, when the IOC changed its policy to allow hormonally transitioned athletes.
What little science the IOC has used to create its policy includes work done by a scientist and transgender athlete Joanna Harper from Oregon in the United States. But even she concedes that her own study of male to female distance runners is far from perfect.
I'd be the first to admit that it's a very limited study. 8 subjects, one sport, and it's a sport where size and strength aren't advantageous. There's certainly very little data on strength athletes.
Harper is poised to publish a second study soon and will publish a book called Sporting Gender at the end of the year. But in the meantime, she is one of a panel of experts who has advised the IOC to halve testosterone limits in women's sport from 10 to 5 nanomoles.
We had a meeting in June. We didn't reach any agreement, despite the fact that most trans women can be relied on to keep their hormone levels low. In elite sport, you're definitely going to have to set a limit. But will trans women still have advantages after that? Well, of course. All of the muscle mass and strength isn't going to go away.
And it's that point that has prompted the UK-based group Fair Play for Women to call on the IOC to suspend the rules altogether. The group's director is research biologist Dr. Nicola Williams.
Any reduction in testosterone, even to zero, wouldn't actually reverse the male performance advantage that someone has when they go through male puberty, basically, because we can't reverse that. So even if the IOC do reduce down to 5, it's still blatantly unfair.
In the case of Laurel Hubbard, her testosterone numbers are not public knowledge, but Joanna Harper believes she is probably already under 5 nanomoles. However, Nicola Williams says even if that's the case, the New Zealand athlete would still have an unfair advantage.
No one's disputing that there's a decline when somebody isn't on high testosterone. The issue is, does it reduce someone down to the equivalent of a female level? And clearly, someone like Laurel Hubbard shows no, that's not happening.
But should Hubbard compete at the Tokyo Olympics next year, Daryl Adair says attitudes may change.
Laurel Hubbard at the moment is in the spotlight. That spotlight might diminish if she is obliged to take testosterone-suppressing drugs. And we'll also see how she does at the 2020 Olympics. If she was to compete with the cohort in Rio, she wouldn't medal.
However, Joanna Harper views the Olympic question from a very different perspective.
She did hold a New Zealand record for 15 years, so she was pretty good, but she was certainly no threat to be in the top 10 in the world among men, and she is among the top 10 in the world among women. And so is that fair? Is that right? You know, it's a difficult thing.
Women didn't even have a category in weightlifting until the year 2000. So within 20 years, women have built their discipline from scratch, and it's now being undermined by people that don't have female bodies, essentially, and those people are now winning. And Laurel Hubbard is the evidence.
And it's a state of affairs that has prompted Nicola Williams to call for all transgender athletes to be banned from women's sport until a new wave of scientific studies has been completed.
We must suspend the rules now and wait for that data in the next 5, 6, 7 years and then decide. And in the meantime, there have to be other arrangements for transgender people so that they can compete fairly and females can compete fairly.